Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. I can't wait. On a Monday, live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. My hair's a little bit of a mess today. I'm not going to lie. I got a haircut, and I just don't care anymore. I'm living in a hotel for 3 weeks as I move houses. I mean, look, I'm just out there right now making stuff up every day, eating at a restaurant every day. I don't know what I'm doing. Good to have you in, Joy Taylor. It's great. Joy has been out for a week. She was in, but quarantine stuff, rules, blah, blah, blah. She's back. I've never missed you more.
I missed you, too. I'm very happy to be back.
Yeah, we're very happy to have you.
It wasn't so difficult when we were both doing the show from not here, but it's, you know, inside baseball, technical stuff. I'm really glad to be back.
We're great. Glad to have you. So, over the last couple months, the Niners have been leaking stuff and taking shots at Jimmy Garoppolo. We're not happy. And, of course, it's never attributed to John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan. But after about 9 stories, Jimmy Garoppolo's like, I'm handsome and I'm over it. And now Jimmy Garoppolo has got people on his side. According to Mike Mayocco, NBC Sports Bay Area, Garoppolo would welcome a trade and would waive a no-trade clause. Garoppolo's like, you know, it's funny with Jimmy. The first thing everybody talks about, the first thing everybody says with him is, man, he's handsome. Nobody talks about his arm. Nobody talks about when, boy, he's handsome. It's almost like everybody out there wants him to play a quarterback in a commercial or a movie, not be their quarterback. But here's the definitive argument, and this is what Garoppolo has on his side, and you can't argue it. Belichick loved him. Kyle Shanahan traded for him, and the Niners, with a great roster, stink when he doesn't start. Listen, we all know there's 6 great quarterbacks in this league. We all know. You can put them in any order. I don't care. Mahomes, Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, and Deshaun Watson. They can win games. They can carry a franchise. And in the NFL, you got to be a top 12 quarterback historically to win a Super Bowl. So those are the 6, and Garoppolo's not in it. The next 6, and I put mine up this morning, totally arguable. I'd go Lamar, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, Kyler Murray. You could argue me out of Matt Ryan and put in Dak. It'd be fine. I wouldn't lose a lot of sleep on it. My guess is Carson Wentz halfway through the season when Frank Reich will probably be in there instead of Matt Ryan. That's my next 6. Lamar, Herbert, Carr, Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, Kyler Murray. I think Kyler's got a much higher ceiling than Dak. But you could argue Kirk Cousins, low ceiling to me. You could argue Dak, great kid, not a great arm talent. But Garoppolo's in there. And you can't argue. Belichick loved him. He's pretty smart. Kyle Shanahan traded for him. He's really smart. And the Niners are awful when he doesn't play. So that I've never bought into this. Garoppolo's going to get traded. I know y'all think he's handsome, but when the best defensive coach of my life loves him, meaning he sees him every day at practice and he thinks, oh, he could beat a good defense, and the best young offensive coach in the NFL, in my opinion, loves him, and the Niners roster, which is fairly stacked, is awful. They can't win without him. I think Garoppolo's staying in San Francisco. I know a lot of you look at him like people look at the actor Chris Evans. The first thing you say is, God, he's good looking. You know, Don Cheadle, it's like, what an actor. Ed Norton, what an actor. Mark Ruffalo, what an actor. Chris Evans, God, he's good looking. I know, but Chris Evans has to be able to act or directors wouldn't keep giving him jobs. Otherwise, movies would just have models. He's got to be able to act. And Jimmy Garoppolo's got to be able to quarterback because the Niners are awful when he doesn't play. And they have a good O-line. They have a great tight end. They have good backs. They have an unbelievable front. They have active linebackers, so Jimmy Garoppolo fired back. Garoppolo said, listen, yes, I may be good-looking, but I'm tired of being told I'm the problem here. Because I, in my only year of starting, Jimmy Garoppolo in his life has had 1 full year of starting. Let's review. 69% completion percentage, 101 passer rating, 2-1 touchdowns to picks. And Garoppolo's tired of it, and he's got a right to be tired of it. So I watched a lot of NBA over the last three days. And we are moving into a space before we get to the real exciting NFL free agent stuff. We got some NBA stuff to talk about here. We're getting real close to the All-Star break, which, of course, is the game nobody this year wants to play. So Joy and I have talked about this in the last several years. Three words, go for it. I watched the Boston Celtics twice over the last three, 4 days. Boston would make an accountant proud. They're frugal. They develop players. They draft well. They're smart. They did everything right. They got the smart head coach. They win every trade. And I watched them yesterday blow a lead to a very average team, the New Orleans Pelicans. And my takeaway is, this morning the Celtics are sixth in the East. Their roster doesn't have a legitimate big. Kemba Walker's deteriorating physically. And they don't have enough good players. They've become the Packers. Is that frugal, put their money away, pay off their house. But go look at the last five NBA champs. I'll read them for you. The Lakers, they went and got AD. The Raptors, they went and aggressively got Kawhi. The Warriors, they aggressively got KD. The Cavs, they got LeBron and Kevin Love. Heat, they got LeBron and Bosch. That's your last five. Okay, the Celtics were in the James Harden sweepstakes this offseason. Do you know what Danny Ainge said? The price is a little too high. They were in the Kawhi sweepstakes, and Danny Ainge said, the price is a little uncomfortable for us. They were in the Paul George sweepstakes. They were in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes, and they talked themselves out of it. In the last 35 years, the proud Boston Celtics have a title. Remember the year? They went for it with Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. The Dodgers were really good. They went and got Mookie Betts. The three best teams in the NFL at the end of the year were the Buccaneers, total go-for-it organization, Buffalo went and got Stephon Diggs, and Kansas City, nothing but stars. I know other GMs look at the Celtics and go, oh, they're so frugal, and they develop, and they accumulate draft picks. They're just not that good. They need another star. They have no size. They tried to trade Kemba Walker in the offseason because they know he can't play back-to-backs. He's deteriorated. Danny Ainge last week on Boston Radio, to his credit, acknowledged you don't have enough good players.
Our roster obviously is not good. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and that's who we are. But this team, where we are, you know, if there's somebody to blame, this is Danny Ainge to blame. This is not Brad Stevens. It's not Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. It's like, we're not good enough right now, and we all know that. And, you know, we need to get better.
Who beat the Celtics last year in the Eastern Conference Finals? Miami. They went for it with Jimmy Butler, which I didn't love. It was kind of a risk. Butler had been hard to get along with, temperamental, struggles with some teammates, and the Heat got to the finals. And I know Brooklyn right now is a complete tinderbox emotionally. It's going to blow up eventually. But right now, this morning, they just went 5-0 on a road trip without Kevin Durant. They've won six straight. Between Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, they're offensively virtually unstoppable. And so, you know, Boston for years, they did everything right. It's so Packers. The right coach, the right draft picks. They win every trade. They develop Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, who have some limitations, but they were so patient, and you don't have enough good players. They're not going to be able to beat Milwaukee or Philadelphia in the playoffs because they'll get owned by Embiid and Giannis's size. They're not offensively gifted enough to beat a Brooklyn. And Boston's one of those teams. You always know your team is kind of limited in any sport when they have to play a certain way to win. Like, if this team doesn't play exactly how it's scripted, like, you know, they always say, baking is just following directions. Cooking is kind of artistry. It's making it up as you go. The Celtics are in the baking category. Like, you have to follow the directions of Brad Stevens perfectly or they can't win. And in the end, Congratulations on being patient, saving money, being frugal, and winning trades. It's not that good of a basketball team. You don't have enough good players. Brooklyn in an hour is suddenly better. All right, Big Ben, former teammate now, a legitimate guy, is now calling out Big Ben. Top of next hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. I think it's my favorite Colin Wright, Colin Wrong in months. I really like it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Big Ben is now running out of people who are supporting him. The Steeler quarterback, if he just retired, would save the Steelers $19 million and they could start their search for another quarterback soon. I think they'd go after Sam Darnold. They already have Dwayne Haskins. But Marquise Pouncey, his center, that was Ben's guy. He retired. Kevin Colbert, the GM's always been Ben's guy. His comments recently, lukewarm on Big Ben. Mike Tomlin, interestingly quiet. Mike Tomlin now is not talking. And now a former teammate who played with Ben for 11 years, Ike Taylor. They were in three Super Bowls. They won a couple of them. Ike Taylor is out on Big Ben. Here it is.
I think Seven should shut it down. And the reason why I think Seven should shut it down, he's done everything he possibly can. You set him back a year or two or three. I think, and the reason why I think you set him back is because you've seen the progression in Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow before he got hurt, and Baker Mayfield. So we're talking about three young quarterbacks in one division. Who you going to pick last? I'm not talking about the accolades. I'm not talking about the Super Bowls. I'm talking about 2020.
Right.
Who are you picking last?
Ike Taylor is not wrong. What does Big Ben do well? Accuracy? No. Pre-snap genius? No. Deep ball? No. Mobility? No. Everybody else in that division, Burrow, Baker, and Lamar, have a specialty. Big Ben was never fully committed. It was fine when he was in his athletic prime. Who is in his corner now? Ain't the GM. Not the coach. Not a former. Ike Taylor was a real player. Ike Taylor was a good teammate. He was Ben's guy. Center retired. Ike's out. Mike's out. Kevin Colbert's out. So again, I'm a big believer that if you're super talented, I'll put up with your crap. But once you're not as talented, your lack of commitment, and Ben is the anti-Brady. He is the anti-Russell Wilson. He is the anti-Brady. He just did it on talent. That ages poorly when you're not committed during and in off seasons. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Ben's 39 next week. He is an old 39.
Well, it's what you said. He's the opposite of Tom Brady. Everybody chooses to handle their career and their bodies differently. We talked about it last week. The level of commitment and discipline it takes to be someone like a LeBron James or a Tom Brady or a Russell Wilson, when you spend that amount of money on your body and you don't eat strawberries or tomatoes because they cause inflammation. Like you eat avocado ice cream. I don't know, maybe avocado ice cream is good, but like that's a sacrifice. I try to not buy snacks for the house. That's my level of commitment.
Yeah, same here. But, and I fail at it, by
right,
the way.
Right, yes, I have chips now. It's a lot. So the Panthers made a handful of roster moves last week to clear up an additional $25.7 million in cap space. They now have $40 million in cap space, which is the sixth most in the league.
Interesting.
And this could be part of a plan to go after Deshaun Watson. Carolina reportedly wants to make a run at Deshaun if the Texans make him available. Watson is set to count for $15.94 million against the 2021 cap and then jump to $40.4 million in 2022.
So this makes me think that Houston and Carolina have talked, and Houston said no, but, and Carolina's like, okay, we're going to have to give up more. Because Teddy Bridgewater stopped following the Panthers on social media this weekend, meaning stuff leaks out. Nobody can keep a secret.
Right.
So this feels like they talked and Houston said no. But it wasn't like no, it was no. And Carolina's trying to clean the shelves out a little bit and give themselves more space.
Houston has all the leverage here. They've got Deshaun. And now Deshaun has the no trade clause, so he can choose where he goes at the end of the day. But there's no value in Houston coming out and saying Deshaun Watson is available. That immediately lowers what they can get for him. If they're like, no, we're not interested. They're just going to keep throwing jewels at their feet until they budge.
Yeah.
They can keep Deshaun if they want. Obviously, he's under contract. Things will get very ugly. Deshaun could sit out for the year. Like, it could turn into a disaster. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But it does, like, you know, the story is, when is they're going to make Deshaun available? They're not going to, like, I don't think they're going to make Deshaun available. I think they're just going to wait until someone comes with the insane riches that they can't turn down, because you're not going to get value back for Deshaun, obviously. Like, there's no equal trade there. Either it's not going to be a Stafford Goff kind of swap, or otherwise, why would you be moving off of someone like Deshaun Watson? So I think it's just a waiting game.
I'm just rooting for trades at this point. I'm not going to lie. I'm just rooting to come trades. In every day with a trade.
I mean, quarterback trades are unbelievable.
Last week, Carson Wentz got traded a minute before the show. I'm like, okay, I don't have to prep.
Yep.
Something to talk
blow,
for 3 hours.
The show up. So Cam Newton had plenty of critics during his season.
I did not like this. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to defend Cam.
Yeah, so we got to discuss this. So he was at a youth football tournament. This video has gone viral. And a kid started giving him a hard time about being a free agent. Here's the video.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich. You're
about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich. You're
about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
Where's your dad? Let me talk to your dad.
Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
You're
a free agent.
You
asked.
Talk to
you.
Let me. Where's your dad? Where's your pop?
I don't like that kid doing that. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of that. If my son did that and I saw that video and my son got home, we'd have a long talk. Like, about respecting people.
Cam Newton has won a Heisman. He made it to the NFL, number one overall pick, made it to a Super Bowl, played in a Super Bowl, and won a league MVP. Let's not get crazy about what Cam Newton's career has been. He has, by every standard measurable, had an extremely successful career in the NFL.
And an endorsement career.
Of course.
Like, he's been all...
He's a superstar. But
like
superstar aside, he actually has reached those milestones. I mean, Philip Rivers played for how many years? He never went to the Super Bowl. He never played in a Super Bowl. He never won a league MVP. Like, we're talking about somebody who has had an extreme amount of success. If he retired today, he has had an unbelievably successful NFL career. I think that sometimes the conversations about players can trickle down into, you know, like, just two kids. Like, this is, I do want to say, though, this is a kid. Kind of the way the story's been covered, I feel like people, like, you know, it's like a headline, like, Cam Newton was heckled. Like, this is a child.
But he is a high school senior.
He's a senior in high school, yes, and this is a good lesson for him about respect, to your point.
You can drive an automobile as a senior in high school, and you're like a year away from being drafted.
It makes me a little uncomfortable. It is still a child.
If your son did this or daughter did this, would you be mad?
I would do things we can't talk about on television.
That's what I'm saying. If my son did that, he would get home and I'd go, you're going to call Cam Newton and apologize to him.
Well, he did issue an apology online. He issued a long apology. He said he let his football competitive side get the best of him.
Who, the kid did or Cam?
No, the kid did. The kid did. I mean, Cam couldn't have handled it better. Like, Cam is volunteering his time to be there and teach the youth of America football. He doesn't need to do that. He's very, as he said, very, very rich. He doesn't have to be there. He's volunteering his time to be there. I thought Cam handled it perfectly. Like, that's how you handle that
Cam
situation.
Generally, I think Cam's a fairly joyful spirit. Like, even in New England this year, he's pretty joyful. I mean, I have my issues with Cam. He's pretty joyful. There's no, like, anger.
Well, Cam also has kids, so it would be very odd of him not to know how to handle a kid, even if they are being extremely disrespectful. So J.J. Watt has some options in his free agency decision, but he's not going to rush to pick his next team. Someone asked him on Twitter if he was going to sign with another team.
Oh, this is funny.
And he replied, I scroll through DoorDash for like an hour before I pick a restaurant, man.
I love that.
You're going to have to give me a second to choose a new team and city.
That's my favorite tweet of the weekend by J.J. Watt.
It's strong. It's true, you know? I mean, I try to limit my options on the... you know, ordering apps, because that's what happens. You stay there for an hour and then
my
it
takes
another 45 minutes to get your food.
I can't do DoorDash with my daughter.
She takes too long?
She's just, it's just, And I'm like,
women, we have a really hard time picking.
I go to Fresh Brothers Pizza, 10 wings, Greek salad.
Colin, why do you do every time you do this to me? I order pizza.
Oh, it's so delicious.
Every time, it's like Pavlovian. Every time you say it, I order pizza.
Fresh Brothers Pizza.
Stop it.
They're Mediterranean. No, I mean, I go to the same thing. I go to every time. I just go, boom, wings, pizza, Seacrest.
I try to do my favorites too. So according to Fox Bet, J.J. Watt's odds for his next team, the Browns are the best odds.
I don't buy that at all.
Browns and the Packers.
Who's setting that? Is that Vegas?
Fox Bet.
You're wrong.
Browns, Packers, Steelers, Bills,
go
and then Ravens.
Who's setting these odds? I don't believe the Cleveland thing at all.
He said he wants a quarterback, supporting personnel, and the money to be right. Now,
Olivier Vernon and Myles Garrett.
He may be being patient, but he also might be waiting until the new salary cap is officially set, so teams might be waiting to see how much money they have.
Wouldn't you want to go to a consistent winner?
Yeah, of course. I don't think the Browns is a good fit for him either way. I mean, just aside from that, to your point, like that's not a place that needs defensive help.
Yeah, they've got Myles Garrett.
Especially on the line.
Yeah, they need linebacker. They need their back seven. They need to draft it like crazy. That's the weakness of the team.
Yeah.
All right, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Yeah. Usually I grew up, you know, the Vegas usually has a step ahead. I don't buy the Cleveland. It's nothing against Cleveland. I just, if you're telling me I want to, I mean, he's got his money in his Hall of Fame. J.J. Watt said. Now it's about, I want to go somewhere that consistently wins. Green Bay, Kansas City. I think Buffalo right now be an interesting, they need a pass rusher bad.
Well, I'm surprised the Titans aren't on this list because they were in the mix last week. So I don't know why they're not up there either.
Dave Wannstedt told us their scheme is perfect for J.J. Yeah. Watt. So there you go. Peter Schrager now joining us, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, Fox Sports NFL reporter, and we got a lot of it. All right, so there's a lot of stuff out on Deshaun Watson. The Carolina stuff's interesting, Schrags, because, first of all, they got a super aggressive owner. That matters, okay? That one of the reasons Green Bay doesn't get in a lot of these deals, they don't have an owner. So you got an owner who's got an ego, and he's going to say, go for it. The new coach is an offensive guy. I would get that. And listen, they got McCaffrey. They've got, you know, they've got some things they could trade. So the Deshaun Watson thing, part of me thinks Carolina's perfect. He played in that part of the country. Where are we right now with Deshaun Watson? Is Carolina the leader? Is there a leader?
First off, Colin, it's great seeing you back in the saddle. Excited Thanks. To be here. And Carolina might be the leaders in our world or in our own heads, but I can tell you after spending the weekend speaking to teams across the league, and this is a damper for our world, Houston is not even taking phone calls right now. And we're now heading towards March. This is not January or February, but Nick Caserio, the GM, is still not even listening to offers. So we can concoct the McCaffrey and Bridgewater, Robbie Anderson, and 12 first-round picks for Watson deals all we want. And it's fun fodder for 3 hours in the middle of a Monday where it's snowing here in New York to discuss about, who knows, maybe the Jets give Quinnen Williams and Sam Darnold. Until Houston starts picking up the phone, it's hard for us to really gauge what is reality. So here's when I would say it's time to really start considering this. It's time to really start considering this right before the draft, because free agency is going to happen. The carousel is going to go. Teams are going to start filling up. But there are going to be first-round prospects drafted at quarterback in the top 15 this year. There might be up to 4 or 5 of those guys. If we go through the entire free agency period and Watson still not traded and Houston still not listening, and then we get close to the draft and Houston is still not entertaining offers, well, then what are we doing? We're in a bind and they probably won't make any trade at all. They believe that Deshaun Watson is going to be a Houston Texan week 1 of the NFL season. Now, Watson, through his people, has said he was requested a trade. He's been very polite about this. Watson has not come out strongly and said, I will never wear that uniform again. And until he says that, I know those Houston guys. I know Caserio. I know what they've got there. They're not going to trade him 80 cents on the dollar because, well, we don't want an unhappy Deshaun Watson. They're going to do everything in their possible repertoire to make this work and to bridge this gap and to somehow not trade away a 25-year-old franchise quarterback for a bunch of picks and maybe running backs and wide receivers.
I want to check in on two. So Wentz and Stafford are off the market. Let's start with Wentz. I do think it's going to work because Frank Reich gave Andrew Luck's most efficient season and Carson Wentz's most efficient season. So I think it'll work. There's a little rebuilding with Carson Wentz, but that's okay. That happens to players all the time at a lot of positions. I didn't talk to you last week. I mean, it looks like the Colts just won that thing slam dunk. I mean, what's your takeaway on the Wentz to the Colts for almost nothing?
It's amazing. That one was 30 cents on the dollar. And, you know, the only way you can justify it is say, well, the Colts take on Carson Wentz, and then you're assuming that Carson Wentz is completely broken and is done. What's amazing is that now that Carson Wentz is out of Philly, now the dirty laundry starts coming out on Carson Wentz, which we didn't hear all season long, that he couldn't handle the drafting of Jalen Hurts, that once he was benched for Jalen Hurts, he went into a hole and crawled up in a ball and just didn't have it in him, and he was never happy with Foles still being around. All that stuff conveniently comes out of Philly necessarily, or just gets into the media after he's gone. The truth of the matter is, this is a no-win situation for the Eagles. You know, okay, great. Maybe Jalen Hurts is the next great thing. Maybe they draft a quarterback. The fact of the matter is, 2 years ago, they gave Carson Wentz this huge contract. It didn't work out, and they did not get what they thought they valued him as in the trade market. The other eye side of this is, what if Wentz isn't good anymore? What if Wentz isn't, you know, all of a sudden resurrected by Frank Reich like everyone's assuming? What if Carson Wentz is as bad as he looked last year? If that's the case, well, the Colts are paying a lot for Carson Wentz, and this is a team that's one quarterback away from being a contender. Did they pick the right guy? We'll see, because we know Phillip Rivers and Jacoby Brissett are likely not walking through that door next year. Can Carson Wentz win more games than Phillip Rivers? I'm not so sure about that.
Matt Stafford, what's the early reports on that deal from the Rams?
A love affair like you've never heard. I mean, this is me talking to these Rams guys, and it's like the happy Sean McVay like we've never seen. And maybe that's not fair to Jared Goff. Maybe that's just unfair, but guess what? It's the truth. McVay, they have a new offensive line coach that's going to be hired in the next couple of days. They have a new defensive coordinator. It's fresh blood in Los Angeles. And for as good as Jared Goff was, and he got them to the Super Bowl, and as unfair as it might seem to say this, they believe that Stafford takes them to an entirely different level on offense than what Jared Goff could possibly do. So I know it's February. We're going to be in March soon, and these things don't matter until August and September. I can just tell you there is real excitement within that building, and that they believe that McVay's offense can be run as well as it could possibly run with Matthew Stafford at quarterback, when with Jared Goff there, it was fine, but there was a limit and there was a cap to it. Stafford could take him to the next level. And I could tell you from the Stafford side, this guy is thrilled and excited to get started. So who cares what happens in February? I could just tell you they're in a different place now as an organization than they were a couple of weeks back before they made the trade.
So Tampa's got some decisions to make. On some names, for instance, just my opinion, Leonard Fournette, I could let Leonard Fournette go and sleep at night. Shaq Barrett, I'd lose some sleep. They got five or six guys. Gut feeling on who's an absolute keeper and who they kind of move off of.
It's a great question, Colin, because I think we get caught up in the Super Bowl parade and the confetti, and then a week later, it's like, oh crap, we have to find a way to pay for all these guys. These are not just no names. Colin, we're talking Lavonte David, who might have been their best defensive player this year, is a free agent. Shaq Barrett is a free agent. Chris Godwin's a free agent. Then you get all the old guys, and I say old with quotes, but, you know, Gronk and Sue and Fournette and Antonio Brown and even the kicker Ryan Succop's a free agent. You can only use the franchise tag on one guy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. It's going to be Godwin or Barrett. That's what I'm hearing out of Tampa. Godwin or Barrett are going to get the franchise tag, and they're going to try to convince the other one of those two to maybe still come back without taking a break the bank contract. And then they're going to try to do the same thing with all the veterans, whether it be Sue, whether it be Fournette. Hey, we can't pay a top dollar, but we could pay a pretty good. Wasn't it fun last year winning a Super Bowl ring? Wasn't it fun playing for BA? But I think it's Godwin or Barrett, and I don't think even Tampa Bay knows who's going to get that deal. And they hope they can get everyone back, including Lavonte David and the rest. It's just so hard because they have so many players hitting free agency.
Yeah, it's funny about that. I would have a hard time giving up a good pass rusher, Schrags. I like Chris Godwin, but God, the NFL gets 28 wide receivers a year, and I got Mike Evans and Antonio Brown. And by the way, OJ Howard, comes back.
Scotty Miller comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chris Godwin, but he's almost a luxury with that team. I got to ask you one other quick question.
Yeah.
You know, I said this the other day that let's say the Jets move off Sam Darnold. Okay.
Okay.
So you're going to tell me in the best defensive coach division in football, Belichick's the best defensive coach ever. Brian Flores looks like a superstar. And Sean McDermott is top five. You're going to bring a quarterback from the Mountain West in with the worst O-line and go, good luck, kid. And I'm thinking, boy, I would like, I don't even know if Robert Saleh can coach. I'd have a hard time with a new coach, a rookie quarterback. Is there any shot the Jets go, we're going to run it back with Darnold and get a bunch of picks for the number two slot?
Yes, or we're going to run it back with Darnold and take a really good player with the number two pick and maybe get another offensive lineman because they hit a home run with Becton. Look, I know those Jets guys. They haven't made any decisions yet. They haven't. And I know we love mock drafts, and we're all assuming that a BYU quarterback is going to be the starter for the Jets next year, and away we go. I'd say slow down on that, Colin. I'm with you on this. They're still evaluating a lot of things. And Sam Darnold in that offense might be a different version of Sam Darnold than he was in the Adam Gase offense.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. Shregs, it's great seeing you. I don't know what you're doing your little thing here from, but it looks like, is this your new office at home? It looks very
new office.
Nice.
I put it behind me. It's got a screen. Colin, I'll just say this. I know you're not from New York when you're lusting over the Mediterranean pizza at Fresh Brothers. What are you? Fresh Brothers. You want to go? You're going to go to Sparrow next. And you say, Colin, come on. I'm in New York here. They have a Fresh Brothers in the airport in LA. You're lusting
come
over
on.
That. Ooh, it's delicious. Get out of here.
Peter Schrager, good talking to you. Bye.
Love your back, Colin. Happy to see you.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Good to have you. Yeah, listen, even my pizza choices.
I don't appreciate the Fresh Brothers slander. Cauliflower pizza is great.
Listen, pizza's hard to butcher.
You can't talk to New Yorkers about pizza, though.
They're very snobby.
You can't talk to New Yorkers about
pizza. I'm a Seattleite, so don't talk to me about coffee. I mock Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, I'm from Pittsburgh, so don't talk to me about Permani sandwiches.
Right? Everybody's got a snob thing. Coming up next, bad news for a team that we thought was going to be great for a long time, and they were great, and then they're not good, and it was all kind of a mirage. And most of you love them. And we'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Got to say, it was wonderful yesterday. The weather in Los Angeles was just about as good. You know how you get those end of winter, beginning of spring kind of days or weeks? And between the pandemic in Los Angeles, bars have been closed for, you know, a year, and you can't eat outside, and we've had a very restrictive state. Not saying it's right or wrong, but it's been pretty punitive to small business in Los Angeles County. And yesterday was just a beautiful 70-degree day, and it was unbelievable to watch the reaction. People were so happy. They were drinking mimosas in the morning, and where I was at, there were just tables filled everywhere. Everywhere you walked in my town, you still can't go inside a restaurant, but there does appear to be a little sunshine on the horizon here as the vaccines are being introduced around the country, and the numbers are plummeting. I was in a hospital myself 2 weeks ago in the emergency room, and a Saturday night was empty. So cross your fingers on this stuff, but it was just a lot of happy people this weekend. Just people need to be social. They do. People need people, and I love seeing it. So Lakers played Miami yesterday. I don't take a lot from it. Miami won. They should have won by more. The Lakers almost stole it. The Lakers are in a shooting slump right now, regardless of Anthony Davis being out and Dennis Schroeder being out. They just can't shoot. Miami's an interesting story. So, and this happens in sports, and fans don't want to admit it. We think, you know, the minute you're good, you're going to be good forever. We think dynasties are going to last forever. And we think sometimes we forget that sports, you see this every year in March Madness, where there's a team that gets hot, lightning in a bottle. They're not that talented. They have all sorts of flaws, but they play with confidence. They maybe get a break or two in the seeding or the playoffs, and you look up and George Mason and VCU are knocking off teams, and they don't really have NBA players in March Madness, and you're like, wow, how did they get here? It's lightning in a bottle. Not every team that gets deep into the playoffs is great. There's breaks. There's momentum. And Miami last year shocked everybody. They were a fifth seed, and then they ended up in the finals. And I think they got a lot of breaks. Number one, they were super healthy. A lot of teams in the bubble had injuries. Older teams sort of unraveled. The older NBA players missed their wives. They missed their kids. And outside of the Lakers, every other veteran NBA team kind of folded and underachieved. But the Eastern older teams Milwaukee just didn't play well. And then nobody had a book on Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero. And Bam, until the finals, was playing very good basketball. And here came Miami. And Jimmy Butler had this energy, and everybody was feeding off it. And Eric Spoelstra, of course, is an excellent coach. And you look up today, and Miami's just not that talented. Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson are incredibly limited players, both defensive liabilities. If you run them off the three-point line, they don't have much of a game. Bam is not good enough when Jimmy Butler's hurt to carry a team. They're 3-9 when Jimmy Butler's not available. You know, there's a reason that Pat Riley went after James Harden hard when Harden was in Houston. Like, they just don't have enough. They need another guy. But it also goes to show you this happens. There are lightning in, you know, we talked about Cam Newton. Cam had a lightning in the bottle year. His division was awful. He stayed healthy. It was a weird year where Carolina met Arizona in the NFC Championship. Green Bay wasn't as good that year. And all of a sudden you look up and Cam Newton's in the Super Bowl. And you're like, it kind of happened once. Everything kind of worked out. Doesn't take anything away from Cam or George Mason or VCU or the Miami Heat. But I'm watching them yesterday, and I'm like, they're not special. Right now, they would not be a playoff team. Now, they're not many games out of it, but they're 4 games under 500, and Jimmy Butler needs help. And now there's a book on Tyler Hero, and even Eric Spoelstra, who's a great coach, doesn't have all the answers. Speaking of Cam Newton, I thought this was interesting. So Cam Newton had that little goofy dust-up with that kid. Not a fan of that. I'm a fan of Cam after that. But Cam was talking over the course of the weekend. He said, there are not 32 quarterbacks better than me. Here's Cam Newton sort of defending his space.
My pride won't even allow me to do that. Listen, bro, there's not 32 guys better than me. Mm. Put it like that. So you're asking
me. Where you at?
I'm not 32.
He's probably right. It's interesting. So I'm reading a story this morning where New England is starting to feel a little bit like the Celtics. They were in on Matt Stafford, and they've been in on Carson Wentz, but the price was simply too high. You got to stop trying to win trades, and you're going to have to win some games. Right now, New England drafts 15th. They're the only team in the NFL that feels kind of hopeless at quarterback unless they bring Cam back. I think Cam's coming back. If you don't bring Cam back, who are you getting with the 15th pick? San Francisco's not trading Garoppolo. They got no backup plan. Jets are not going to trade you Sam Darnold in division. Marcus Mariota can't stay healthy. He's reckless. Wentz is off the market. Goff's off the market. Stafford's off the market. And to be honest, you can't get Deshaun Watson, although he'd be great. You don't have the draft capital, and you don't have any players. Carolina can give you Christian McCaffrey. They can give you all their picks. Who do you have? Stephon Gilmore's past his prime. You have no skill players I want. You don't have an A running back, an A receiver, or an A tight end. So, you know, it's funny about Cam. We all kind of think like, oh, they'll move off Cam. To who? I think he's coming back. I think you can make the argument, second year with Josh McDaniels. They went 7-9 with a bunch of opt-outs. They got a ton of cap space. They're a team that should really go after Allen Robinson, the wide receiver at Chicago. They're still, even if they sign Cam to a 2-year deal, they're not going to pay him like market value. He's making nothing. You can pay him like $18 million a year. So, you know, and there are other teams you have questions at quarterback. Big Ben, but he was pretty good early last year. Jags, they'll get their guys in the draft. Saints. Well, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards 2 years ago, and Taysom Hill in 4 starts went 3-1. If you don't bring Cam back, you're hopeless. What are you going to do? So, New England's got a little Celtic. You know, Boston's one of those very kind of hyper-academic markets. You know, MIT and Harvard, and they're very much the Red Sox and Patriots and Celtics into analytics. You can try to win trades, but you got to win games. And if Cam's not coming back, you tell me what the answer is. Because according to this, they didn't want to pay for Wentz, and they didn't want to pay for Stafford. All right, congrats. And the Celtics didn't want to pay for Paul George, James Harden, and Kawhi. And today, the Celtics, They're not very good. Hour two, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, live in L.A. It's The Herd.